Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PZ. It is Saturday, the 8th of August, Anno Domini 2009, and you, oh, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And we'll be bringing you news, views, stuff you can use, a couple of things you can choose, hopefully nothing you'll lose. Give us a call. Our numbers are in the 585 area code. It's 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or if you're outside the 585 area code, call us toll-free, 1-800-790-0415. We are on member-supported Jazz 90.1, bringing you 2 solid hours of the longest-running computer show in the known universe.
Two things. One, I got to apologize for you folks, letting you guys down last night, not being there. Apologize for that. I was feeling a little under the weather. And so that's why if I don't sound too enthusiastic, I'm still getting over that part. But
here's the way, before you do that, I have to say, I want you folks to realize that Dave, although he is on the injured reserve list, is here. He's actually here doing his job. He looks pretty bad, but that's kind of normal, so I can't tell. But he's here, even though he's not well. So when you call in, and you should, you know the numbers, say thanks to Dave for getting up out of his sick bed and joining us here on the show.
But one thing that we are going to do this week, just like we have the past few weeks, is we're having a party.
We are?
Yep. And you know what? We're going to give away some tickets. So
excellent.
You're definitely going to want to stay tuned. Because just like the weeks previous, you never know when all of a sudden we get the itch and you'd be the correct caller and we'll have you on the air or give you a chance to win some tickets to the September 5th Soundbites 20th birthday.
That's right. It's going to be September 5th and it's going to be at the Radisson Riverside Hotel downtown. It'll be September 5th from 11 to 3.
Yep.
We'll be live there on the, we'll be there for the whole party, but we'll be on the air from noon to 2. So if you're there, you can come and sit on my lap and talk on the air. Probably not since I'm already sitting on my lap if you...
But they can sit your life.
They can sit next to me anyway, yeah, if nothing else. But we'll be there having fun. There's going to be hors d'oeuvres and a cash bar and a birthday cake and all kinds of other exciting surprises. So
Laura Lynn keeps working on the stuff. As soon as we know more,
you know, we'll let you know more.
We'll definitely line it up and you know, let you folks know, but don't want to say anything until it's finalized. So
that's exactly right. And you have to understand the only way you get to come to the party is if you have a ticket. And the best way to get a ticket, aside from, you know, bribing me or Dave, we're open to big bribes,
mm-hmm.
car-sized bribes. Let's just say that. Car-sized bribes. Yeah.
Amazing.
New car-sized bribes is what I'm saying. But, but the other way to get a ticket is to actually win it. And so stay tuned. Listen to this show every week up until, obviously we're not going to give out tickets during the 20th anniversary, but up to the 20th anniversary. And listen to this station because we'll be giving tickets away all the time. You never know when it's going to happen. All you have to do is listen, stay tuned, and be the correct caller. So it should be fun. Dave's way, way better half, Lori, is actually here to answer.
Thank God for
you're a very lucky man.
Yes,
we don't know what's wrong with her. What moment of insanity? Everybody's allowed one mistake in their life. Clearly, that was hers. But she'll be answering the phones when we do the giveaway. So that'll be kind of fun. Let's start with a news item. We've been saying this for a couple of months now, but it's getting more and more serious. Mac OS X is considered by some to be an extremely secure operating system. Those people claim that thanks to its many security features, users will be kept much safer using Apple software rather than risk Microsoft's operating system. They claim that proof of that can be found in the sheer number of security vulnerabilities Microsoft has been forced to patch compared with Apple. Those same people might be interested to know that that logic is starting to show itself for what it really is, a red herring. Or just so much eyewash. Apple to put it as politely as I possibly can. Apple released an update to Mac OS. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Steve Ray is in the house.
Yay!
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Stay off of 390 if you're anywhere near it.
We were thinking this is back to public radio now, and so you're back to your public radio time. You come in at 5 after.
Paul Harvey doesn't run anymore.
Yeah, exactly. So, you're pretty the much, rest you kind of have to be here more on time. Apple released an update to Mac OS 10.10.5 Leopard earlier this week. Is that enough words for an operating system? Mac OS 10.10.5 Leopard? Eventually we'll add the word snow to it.
Yeah,
it'll
snow
be
leopards. We get another word next.
Well, wait until they get dot point. 3.
Well, they're already there, yeah. Aside
right
from
elbow.
Exactly. Aside from better compatibility with airport wireless systems and enhanced Bluetooth reliability, Apple released 18 security fixes. Those security fixes encompass issues giving malicious hackers access to system files, the ability for third parties to exploit an image link to gain access to a user's computer, and more. It's ironic that Apple, a company that has spent so much time and money railing against Microsoft for its security issues, was forced to release 18 security fixes to ensure its own operating system isn't exploited. On one hand, Apple should be applauded for releasing those security updates. After all, if it failed to address the security issues that would put users at risk, it could only mean that Apple simply isn't doing its job. But it did patch those security issues. But it's not the fact that Apple fixed those security issues in its operating system that some might take issue with. Instead, it might be important to consider the fact that by perpetrating the myth that Mac OS X is extremely secure, it could lead to many more issues for Mac OS X users. In the process, it could cause Apple, a company that historically has stayed tight-lipped on security, to admit that OS X just isn't a secure operating system that some people think it is. Security is a numbers game. The more people using an operating system, the greater the opportunity for malicious hackers to capitalize. That's one of the main reasons why Windows has been such a target. In the security space, more exploits means more victims, which means more cash. In essence, malicious hackers want to target the pool with the highest return. Historically, that has led them to Windows. Going forward, it will continue to be Windows, given its dominating position in the operating system market. But Mac OS X is starting to gain some ground. Although Steve Ballmer has consistently said that Apple's gain in the OS space isn't important, hackers don't agree. They see an opportunity. They realize that Mac OS X is largely untested and thus probably quite vulnerable to security issues. They understand that there are few antivirus and anti-spyware programs available to protect OS X users. Most importantly, they realize that the culture that has been cultivated by Apple and its supporters makes OS X an ideal target, which leads us to our poll of the week at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. And the poll is Mac OS X, insanely secure, pretty secure, not very secure, or I'm insignificant, who'd want my computer? Once you voted in the poll, take a look at the little yellow box underneath, click on give us your opinion. It will take you to my website, asknick.com. That's asknick.com. And thank you. And you will be able to leave an opinion up to 256 characters. How careful are you Mac users when it comes to malware threats? So far, we have, in terms of polls, we have 32 people. Most of you, the prevailing sentiment, 56% of you say, who cares? It's a Mac, baby. And then 34% of you say pretty secure, 6% say insanely secure. Only one realist in the group who says not very secure. You need to be a lot more careful about your operating system than that. There is no secure operating system anywhere. Over on the poll, of course, the whiners are out already. Usually that doesn't happen until Tuesday or Wednesday, but all the whiners are out. I don't like to hear member supported. Well, we are member supported radio, so shut up. Clearly you're not a member and you're feeling guilty about that. Those of us who are members are delighted to know that we are on member supported Jazz 90.1.
We could always go back to having 30 minutes of commercials every hour.
We could do that. Would that make this person happier?
And
probably not.
And be bounced around each week because maybe this sport or that sport Report was on, and, oh, when the Buffalo Bills all of a sudden are on, we get totally bumped off for how many weeks? Like 18 or 20 weeks?
Yeah.
And then there's the playoffs and the preseason, and if the moon right. comes up on the third.
We're like Linux. We're member supported.
Exactly. See how nice that is?
Tell you what.
Uh-oh.
Yep. Told you, folks. Let's go for caller number 12. If you're the 12th caller, to dial 966-5299 or 1-800-790-0451. And you could win some tickets to the Soundbites birthday party. Now remember, if you're staff, volunteer, underwriter, or Jazz 90.1, their family, and listeners who have won in the past 30 days, sorry, you can't participate. But if you want a complete listing of the rules, if you write Jazz 90.1, Contest Rules, 1139 Maiden Lane, Rochester, New York, 14615, they'll gladly send them out to you. So be the 12th caller at 966-5299 or 1-800-790-0415. 12th caller.
And that's how you get those tickets. We are going to have so much fun. I can't wait for this party. It's going to be great.
If what Laura's saying, you know, is going to happen,
we don't know yet, but when we do,
no,
we'll
she,
be good.
She rattled off a lot of stuff, but again,
until it's firmed up, we're saying nothing.
Handwriting on paper.
That's exactly right. But given what she's going for, I'm telling you right now, it's going to be
huge.
It's going to be a blowout. We're very excited. We're very excited. And maybe 4 o'clock when it 3 o'clock when it ends, we'll. We'll adjourn to some local watering hole and
that works.
Have a few soda pops or something.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of good, too.
Relocate
we'll
across
probably
the street
need
or something downstairs.
Yeah, by then we'll need it.
Or downstairs to the bar.
Sure I didn't mean bar. I'm sure I meant soda shop somewhere.
Well,
I'm sure that's what I meant.
Well, there's a bar down there that you can have.
You can have soda there? Excellent.
Yes, I do.
Excellent.
Because that's all I drink. I don't drink.
That's what we need. Droc is right. I'm on the IRC chat right now, and Droc says we should have a beer sig.
Okay, we have a winner, folks. So I'll tell you what, stay tuned. There will be more tickets within the next hour and 45 minutes. So don't worry. We've got more to give out.
Congratulations to our latest winner and to all our winners. Yes, the show cam is up, but it is out of focus because it's a fixed focus device, and therefore we're
can't
not
be
in
focused.
The focal length. right.
Do you want any closer?
Well,
it's about a 6-foot focal range, so it's designed for one person.
Yeah, it's designed for a single user. But that's our deal. We're going to be doing so. We're going to have fun. Last night, I have to say this before I go anywhere further with anything else. Yesterday afternoon at about 10 to 5, I was on CNN International. It was very exciting. We had RIT got a call. They wanted to talk to as you may know, and I think I've got a thing about it. Oh yeah, here it is. It's our next news.
He's like
news
a star.
Item.
He comes out at night.
Exactly. CNN, Twitter, Facebook, Google, YouTube, Blogger, a couple of others were attacked. LiveJournal were attacked. They were actually trying to take down an individual guy. Named George. He's from the Soviet Republic of Georgia, Republic of Soviet Georgia. Unfortunately, as an American, I don't have a good grasp of international politics. I know it used to be the Kingdom of Georgia. Then it was the Democratic Republic of Georgia. Then it was the Georgian Soviet Socialist Republic, and now I think it's just the Republic of Georgia, I think. Anyway, the point here is...
Next week, it could change
again. It could change again. They're having a horrible, horrible war there. It's been going on for, I don't know, 500 years. And there's a guy who's been blogging about it and has a journal and tweeting and everything else about it. And they tried to take him down, and in fact, what they ended up doing was a denial-of-service attack and everybody else. And so what he did was, what CNN International did was called RIT and said, do you have an expert who can come on and talk about that? And apparently they misheard the word expert, they said idiot, and they called me. So I went up and talked to them for, it was only a couple of minutes. It is not yet available anywhere. It's not on the web or anywhere else right now. So, as soon as it becomes available, of course, I'll link to it or grab it and put it up or whatever they'll let me do legally. And let you know. But it was fun. It was actually plenty of fun. I had a good time. I don't know that they'll ever repeat it ever.
Hey, you never know. You get on their list.
Yeah, that's my hope. That they liked what I said.
More and more, you know.
The funny part was they asked me to explain how you mitigate against that in the future, and I talked about that, and then my segment was over, and the anchor threw to some other guy, and he started to talk, and then he stopped, and he said, "You know, I really like that explanation. I understood it, and I'm stupid." Alrighty then.
All right.
Okay. All right. But that was pretty cool. It was a lot of fun, and I enjoyed it very much. Let's dip into the old mailbag, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
Avast. I have two errors on Avast. Gary from Rochester says, problem, /system volume information, yada, yada, yada. A.062.060.dll infection.
Tell you what, before you get into that too much.
All right. Instead of that, we'll take a quick break. So,
sorry to mess you up on that.
Not a problem.
Lead into it.
Not a problem.
We can kind of look it over and get into it when we come back out of this.
Yeah. We are going to take a quick break, but we will be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. You are listening to the greatest computer. This is nice music. You are listening to the greatest computer show in the known universe. Sound Bites on member supported Jazz 90.1, and we will be right back.
Got a computer question? Call the boys now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free 800-790-0415. Online at soundbites.org. Soundbites continues next on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Soundbites, America's longest-running computer show, is celebrating 20 years on air. Join Jazz 90.1 as we celebrate this great occasion with a party and live broadcast Saturday, September 5th at the Radisson Hotel Rochester Riverside in downtown Rochester. Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray will broadcast Soundbites live from the Radisson from noon to 2, answering all your computer questions just as they have for the past two decades. You can ask your questions in person on the air and meet Nick, Dave, and Steve, and enjoy munchies, a cash bar, and even a birthday cake. You can only get tickets by listening to Jazz 90.1. For more info, visit jazz901.org or call 966-2660.
Okay, kids, the campfire's out. Let's hit the road.
Dad, the fire's not out. It's still smoking.
No, close enough.
Come on, Dad, do your homework. If it's too hot to touch, then it's too hot to leave.
I knew that.
You're never too young to get your smoky on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
This is Rob Linton. Join me every midday from 10 a.m. till noon right here on Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And you are listening to Sound Bites on member supported Jazz 90.1. Back to this email from Gary. The problem is he's got this DLL under system volume information, whatever, and it's infected with the Win32 CTX virus. Avast says to send it to the virus chest, but when I do, I get message virus chest server is not running. RPC communication failure. The second error reads that in the same folder, regcure.exe, unable to scan the file as a decompression bomb. Are these serious, and what, if anything, can I do to fix the problems? Thank you for the great job you do. Well, Gary, yes, they are serious. What it sounds like, actually, is your RPC communication system is not running. Now, that can happen for, well, any number of reasons. It's Windows. But it is possible that, in fact, it is a virus. So let me suggest that you do the following. Run the rest of the Tango without Avast, and then, after you reboot, run it again. The problem, and if that doesn't work, then it is possible that it's not a virus, although you need to check for that first. But then, if it's not a virus, if that doesn't fix the problem, then the problem is that the Avast has been corrupted. Not necessarily by a virus, just by life.
Yep.
We all get corrupted by life.
There have also been several cases recently with CA Antivirus and Avast and McAfee where they inadvertently give a false positive on a Windows system file.
Right.
And then it quarantines the Windows system file and Windows quits working.
Okay.
That's special.
All right. So I haven't seen that as a problem yet, at least, with this, but that's an interesting point.
Check for an update for Avast. You may try downloading the current version, download and install the current version.
Well, that was what I was going to suggest next, which is uninstall Avast entirely, and then download the newest version and reinstall it.
Make sure you reinstall it.
Yeah, CA Antivirus just happened in early July, accidentally defining a Windows system file as a virus, and then when you quarantine it, suddenly Windows doesn't work.
It's happened to McAfee.
It's happened to Symantec. It happens to all the antivirus companies. They're trying to be predictive about what a virus is and what a virus does, and sometimes the false positives are worse than the accurate positives.
Right. That's exactly right. I don't actually know. You know what? Here's your problem. Those are in System Restore. Both of those files, you see?
Yeah, they're hidden.
Hiding in the restore point?
They're hiding in the restore point. Now, if you had danced the Security Tango, you would know the first thing you're supposed to do is turn off your System Restore. That loses all the restore points you have already set, but what it means is you clear out things like that. They can be then removed.
And, if you don't, you get it clean the minute you reboot your machine. They're coming back.
That's exactly right. So go to the Security Tango, securitytango.com, click the Let's Dance button, select Windows Waltz, and print out that page and follow every single instruction just as it says there, because that's what you're going to need to do in order to correctly clean out that problem. That's something I get fairly regularly. I'm sorry I didn't get to mention Security Tango or Soundbites on CNN yesterday, but that's all right. You have to follow all those steps. That's why they're dances. That's why I named them after dances, because if you don't follow every step in the dance, you're not dancing. You're just stumbling around.
Let's switch things up a little bit. I'm in the mood.
Uh-oh. Well, kiddies, it is that time once again. Grab your, get your footy jammies on, grab a mug of hot cocoa, sit Indian style in a semicircle around the rocking chair, because if we can slap them awake this early in the day, it's time for Story Hour with Uncle Dave. Uncle Dave? Uncle Dave!
Oh, yeah.
Careful there, Uncle Dave.
Yeah, I'm a little under the weather, but still ready for a good rant and... I realize, since we've moved over here to Jazz 90.1, it's just a little different setup. And the one thing I'm going to ask folks, it's sort of a semi-rant, is, all right, when I, have to answer you, when the folks call to get on the phone, and ask their computer question, the one problem I'm having is, and you can see by the camera here, if you watch the live cam, you can see I am very close to Nick and Steve. I'm maybe no more than 3-4 feet at the max. And the phone is right here. So when I pick up the phone, I have to turn off my mic, crouch down, and I have to talk softly. But it doesn't mean you folks have to. It makes it harder for me to hear you.
Yeah, have you noticed that you whisper to someone, they whisper back?
Yeah.
This just puts me in mind of an old Three Stooges thing. They were doctors, and they're talking to a nurse, and she's whispering. So they're all whispering back to her. Finally, one of them says, "Why are we whispering?" And the nurse says, "I don't know about you, but I have laryngitis."
Well, that's what it's kind of, I don't want to be rude. I don't want to sound like I'm coming off snide or anything else like that. It's just, folks, just because I whisper, you don't have to. It's okay. Speak up.
It's not a speakerphone. It's just in his ear.
Yeah.
But what's funny is watching him, every once in a while he puts it in the same ear he's got his IFB in, the little speaker thing in our ears. And so he goes, and then he just jumps back and rips the thing out of his ear and goes to talking again. It's actually pretty funny. Please speak up when you call in, because poor Dave, he's getting on in years now. He's the oldest of the three of us. So he's got...
But not by much there.
Not shut up.
Man.
Shut up. Really? Seriously, shut up. You, the last person, you weren't there last night. You were, he wasn't there last night. You weren't there last night. And so it's just us. Just me, rather. And now I'm getting stuff from you. Get out of here. We're going to go to the phones now. Our first caller is Linda. Linda, I bet you're in Greece, New York. Linda? Linda's gone entirely. We have lost Linda.
Sorry, try that again, Linda.
Give us a call back, Linda. Dave's just randomly pushing buttons here. It's just, you know, Dave, I said he's getting on in years, and it's not just his ears that are going. He just randomly flails out and punches buttons as he moves along. We're not entirely certain what that means. Let's try it again, shall we?
Nope, maybe.
Nope, maybe not.
More buttons to push.
He's working on it. Dave's feverishly working on it. Isn't there a button you're supposed to push up there?
Yeah, he's pushing that one, too.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And that one up.
Let's see if she's there now. You there, Linda?
Well, that's a different noise. Well, we'll work on Linda.
He's working on it. But in the meantime, I'd like to sing a song. This is I'm a Little Snowflake. I'm not going to sing a song. If I were, it would be a... dirty song. I once sang a dirty song on the air. Not in sound bites, but on the radio. They asked me to. I don't know why.
Of course, there's all those songs that sound like you're singing a dirty song, but you're not.
Yes. Yes, there are. And I know most of those.
Is it Jimmy Kimmel, his show that does the moments in gratuitous moments in vulgarity, where he'll edit real public speeches by politicians and beep out non-swear words? So it sounds like they're swearing.
That's funny. I don't know who does that, but it sounds funny. While Dave's trying to figure out the phone, why don't I talk a little bit about that Twitter attack? Do I have time to talk about the Twitter attack, or do you think you have it?
Linda's. Try it now.
There now.
Your mic.
Linda?
Your mic is now off, Dave.
Linda, are you there? We do not have Linda. We have a small phone problem. And considering this is a small phone system, that makes it a big phone problem.
Yeah.
Linda, try calling in one more time. In the meanwhile, I'll talk about the Twitter and Facebook thing. On Thursday, most social networking site users felt a great disturbance in the force, as if millions of voices suddenly cried out in terror, and were suddenly silenced. Well, for a few hours, anyway. A pro-Georgian blogger, named George, by the way, with accounts on Twitter, Facebook, LiveJournal, and Google's Blogger and YouTube, was targeted in a denial-of-service attack that led to site-wide outage of Twitter and problems at the other sites on Thursday, according to a Facebook executive. The blogger had accounts on all of the different sites that were attacked at the same time. It was a simultaneous attack across a number of properties targeting specifically him to keep his voice from being heard. Yet what it looks like is the attacker wasn't actually trying to deny service to those things. It was trying to remove George from those systems. We're not sure who did it. What happened was that user created a botnet of hundreds of thousands of systems, hit all those sites for a couple of hours, and then wiped out all the machines that he had taken over. So they were rendered completely useless, but it also meant they were rendered unable to really be backtracked from. So that was kind of tough. Linda, are you there?
Yes.
Oh, Linda. Linda from Greece.
Right.
One of the buttons was sticking.
One of the buttons was stuck. That's his story, and he's sticking to it.
Okay.
What's the story here, Linda?
Okay. Dave upgraded my computer, and I want to thank him very much for putting 3 gigs on my computer, and I got a new broadband and wireless thing. I got the whole thing. My biggest problem now is my pages are only coming in half the size, and I've tried everything.
You mean in your browser or in everything?
In everything. My email, everything. And unfortunately, I don't know what the problem is. Mozilla Firefox does not work for me, so I'm on IE.
Hold on, Linda. I'm not quite sure I understand the problem yet.
Okay, does I'm on Internet Explorer.
Stop. Does your desktop fill the screen?
No. If I click on a website, I get it 3/4 of the page, and I have to click the little box on the top to make it full size.
But when you do click that box, it fills the screen.
Yes.
All right.
That's,
so
that's normal.
Here's where the problem lies. There's a couple of things that do this. First, Internet Explorer is notorious about not caring how wide you want your screen.
Yeah.
That's first. But there are a couple of things that you might be able to do to fix that. One is to empty the cache.
I've done that.
The second is once the system is full screen... Well, this is a little hard.
The way it's easily done, once you get it full screen, so many folks go up to the upper right-hand corner and hit the X. You can't do that. What you've got to do
settings.
Is go to File and come down on File and say Exit.
I did that. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
That's not remembering
the
full screen.
The other thing you want to do is make it just the tiniest little bit less than full size.
Yeah, drag the window size manually. By dragging an edge rather than using the maximize button.
Right. And then if you've got just a little edge where you can click on the desktop so that the desktop is selected and not IE, hit F5.
I've tried that also.
Okay. Well, then I don't know what to tell you, Linda. Those are the things that
okay,
do it.
I've
is
got
it
a
only an IE or is it all programs?
Okay, it's IE. But if I go on to Mozilla Firefox, the thing is notoriously slow to load everything, and I don't understand why it is. I've got the newest upgrade to Firefox, and it takes. I mean, Internet Explorer opens just like that. Firefox maybe takes 5, 6, 7 seconds to load. And I want to know
what extensions do you have loaded in Firefox?
The only one I have is IE View.
Yes. Notoriously slows down the system.
I like putting my things on my desktop instead of bookmarks, so I can't
I get that. But you're paying the price for the convenience.
Okay.
Can you drag the URL to the desktop?
You can just, I don't know if you can do that in Windows. I can certainly do it in Linux.
I can do it in Firefox.
I don't know that you need to be able to. So if you can do it in Firefox, you just drag the URL off the URL bar there at the top. Just drag that to the desktop. Of course, if you've got the thing full screen, you don't have a desktop. But if you've got it slightly less than full screen, you can drag that over to the desktop.
Okay. So IE View is the problem. Nobody ever told me that. You guys are great.
Thank you so much, Linda.
There's a Firefox safe mode. If you go to your start menu, there's a next to Firefox full mode, there's a Firefox safe mode. And that doesn't load any of the plugins. And that can help you see whether an issue is a plugin or the web browser or the website.
Right.
So if you launch Firefox in safe mode and it runs really, really fast and everything works okay, then it's a plugin that's causing the problem.
Now, how do I find Firefox in safe mode?
It's right next to Firefox in the menu. You know, your start menu.
Programs, start programs.
Okay, it lists a whole bunch of things. Yeah, I know where it is.
There you go.
This is personally for Dave. Dave, you were great.
Thank you.
Tell Sam she still hasn't sent me the codes that I brought in for that software. I still haven't gotten them.
Give her a buzz back on Monday. I've been kind of out of the office the past 2 days.
Okay.
I was under the weather, so...
But I want to tell you, though, that 3 gig, I get everything. I get my videos, the new video card. Man, I get YouTube. I get everything now.
Excellent. Great. Good for you,
That's
Linda.
That's what we like to hear.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
Remember when 640K was a lot of memory?
Remember 128 meg with Windows 98?
Yeah, meg, yeah. Hey, Meg. Now, in 10 years, we'll be talking about, I got a terabyte of memory and an exabyte hard drive.
Right now, matter of fact, I sent you the update for the custom configuration.
Yes. I haven't put it up yet, but you sent it to me.
Yep. But there, I'm recommending at least 4 gig.
Yep. Well, if you've only got 32-bit Windows, you can only use 3 gig.
Yeah, but I'm thinking right now, memory is so cheap, it's kind of foolish not to.
If your computer is older and takes, say, DDR2, which the DDR3 prices have been really dropping, the older DDR2 prices are actually going up because they've stopped making so much. Yeah,
grab it now while it's cheaper, because the old DDR memory, which I've had to get for some of the older Dell machines, that's even going up more.
Yeah, that's exactly what he said. So, yeah, absolutely. And if you're using Linux, of course, you can use more and just in general. Well, I think at any 32-bit system, it'll only take 3 gig. But
folks,
you don't need
all
that much
64-bit.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I don't think it's going to be too far down the road that you might want to upgrade and do the 64-bit.
Yep, And then you can have up to, what is it, 4 terabytes of memory, which probably we're going to see soon. Steve is right. Yep. We're going to be seeing that sooner or later. Well, at any rate, to get back to a little bit of this Facebook, this Twitter thing, it was down for a couple of hours. People were very, very upset. Obviously, Facebook, like I said, Google didn't even notice it. So YouTube and Google Blogger weren't affected. Facebook wasn't affected much. LiveJournal wasn't affected much. But Twitter clearly had not set up their system in quite the same way to minimize that impact. But that's too bad.
And they just got a big hack a couple of weeks ago.
Which they?
Twitter.
Yeah.
So apparently the corporate people at Twitter have Gmail accounts, and when you log in, when you say you forgot your password on your Gmail account, it gives you an alternate email address
right.
that you could email your password to, and they were Hotmail accounts. And so the hacker went to Hotmail and said, forgot your password, and was able to get the password for Hotmail, which was the same as Gmail, which was the same as their Twitter login. So don't make your passwords the same on all your services.
Yeah. Right, so many folks do. Yeah. You know, we've been around and around about this.
Yes, it's easy to remember. But, well, so, you know, say your password is Joe, and you're going to go on Twitter, so make it Twitter Joe, and on Gmail, make it Twitter Gmail. It's a little different,
yeah.
but make it more different.
But the problem is people pretend to be stupid.
Yeah.
And I know they're not stupid. They just pretend to be because they're lazy.
I can't remember a 10-digit password. Well, you remember your phone number, don't you? That's 10 digits.
Yeah, it actually is.
Right. And that's how you do it. You break it up into smaller chunks. Makes it easier to remember.
Right. Use a friend's phone number. Use your first phone number, an old phone number, something else. All right, we're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco.
And we're going to party like it's 1999?
Apparently we are. We're going to party like it's been 20 years, I'll tell you that. We're Sound Bites. See you soon.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Sound Bites, America's longest-running computer show, is celebrating 20 years on air. Join Jazz 90.1 as we celebrate this great occasion with a party and live broadcast Saturday, September 5th at the Radisson Hotel Rochester Riverside in downtown Rochester. Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray will broadcast Sound Bites live from the Radisson from noon to 2, answering all your computer questions just as they have for the past two decades. You can ask your questions in person on the air and meet Nick, Dave, and Steve and enjoy munchies, a cash bar, and even a birthday cake. You can only get tickets by listening to Jazz 90.1. For more info, visit jazz901.org or call 966-2660.
Ladies and gentlemen, y'all ready for the blues?
If you're ready for some blues, look no further than Sunday nights. I'm Greg Lefebvre, your host for Doc's Juke Joint. Every Sunday from 7 till 10, part of our 5 hours of blues on Sunday nights. On the Juke Joint, you'll hear new blues, classic blues, and our extensive music calendar. Dig the blues on Sunday nights on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Hey, this is Derek Lucas, host of The Spectrum. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And you are listening to Sound Bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Give us a call. The numbers are 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or, of course, if you're outside the local calling area at 585, give us a call toll-free at 1-800-790-0415. Hold it! I'm feeling the vibe.
You think we should?
Hey, you have the paper in your hand.
Yeah, let's go for it, gang. All right, if you're going to be number caller 10, that's caller 10 at 966-5299 or 1-800-790-0415. Be the 10th caller, and you could win some tickets to the Soundbites birthday party on September 5th.
Party, party, party. That's September 5th at the Radisson Riverside Hotel. The party is from 11 to 3. We will be live on the air there from noon to 2. So you get an hour of us beforehand and an hour of us afterwards. And if you want to be on the air, you can come and sit on my lap. I better get a very sturdy chair.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. There's going to be munchies and a cash bar and a birthday cake and a lot of special surprises. So you stay tuned. We're going to be talking about those in the next couple of weeks. It's just going to be so cool.
Pick up the phone. Be the 10th caller at 966-5299, 1-800-790-0415, and be the 10th caller to get your tickets to the Soundbites birthday party.
Yep, be the 10th caller. And that's how you get these tickets. You don't get them any other way. You have to win them here. Or, like I said, give either Dave or I suppose Steve, now that he's here, a new car, and we'll get you a ticket. That's,
we can always be bought. You know,
is that legitimate? Is that a legitimate thing? Give us a car, you get a ticket. Is that it's a donation to me?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not really
in consideration. Yeah.
I don't know if somebody's in consideration of. Maybe if somebody's a lawyer, they can tell me. I guess I can value my ticket at anything I want to value it at. Right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how that works. So that's our deal.
Cash probably, value not to exceed 1/20th of a cent.
Yeah, exactly.
I've heard of people that collect every coupon from every paper they find and add up all those 1/20ths of a cent and make money on it.
Oh, and why not, after all? For heaven's sake, that's something you can do. I probably should stop saying that. It's probably not legal. And some humorless idiot is going to take me at my word. It was a joke, folks.
There have been a lot of things like that where you bring a can of food to donate and you get a discount on your whatever. I remember a thing about a car dealer where they forgot to say limit X cans.
We have a winner, folks.
We have a winner.
Yay!
So someone brought in, you know, 1,000 cans and wanted the $5 discount and eventually took them to court and won and got their truck for 1,000 cans.
Nice.
Who was it, Beck? It was that jet that Arnold Schwarzenegger. There was points in that, and so many, you save up so many points, you could win that jet.
Oh, yeah. Harrier jet
didn't
from Pepsi,
somebody,
I think it was.
Somebody actually saved up all the points.
Yep, and actually won the jet, and then the government wouldn't give it to him.
Yeah, Pepsi said it was a joke, and the government. They eventually had to strip down the armament and sell it to him, yeah.
Yep. Give it to him.
Oh, yeah, give it to him, yeah. But I guess part of the problem was that the Air Force wouldn't sell them one.
Yeah, right.
So the Marines use them, but they're also made in. I think that's what they had to do. They had to buy one from the British government.
Yeah, I think they did
because they couldn't get one from the U.S.
That's
government.
That's right. Well, Britain makes them. Harrier jets are British.
Yeah.
Or British.
I think there's an American contractor.
Well, there might be
too. But yeah, the British Harrier jump jet.
Do we have a phone?
No. We did, but it was somebody calling for tickets. Didn't evidently hear that
we had a winner. I see. All right, we do have a winner. Sit on your hands until the next time around.
Another hour, so we can still give away more tickets.
Oh, this was one of my favorite things this week. Pundits say it won't save the company, and others don't really care. But on Thursday, Radio Shack officially kicked off its efforts to be known as the Shack. The electronics retailer that began selling radio tubes in 1921 hopes to shake up its dusty image and try to reinvigorate its sales figures. Okay, most of us are not soldering up circuit boards on the kitchen table every night and building our own radios out of raw transistors and capacitors, but most of us do like going to the local Radio Shack the Shack stores and playing with all the latest and not-so-latest electronic parts and gadgets. Getting our batteries. Thursday marked the start of the new image.
For your battery club.
Exactly. Did the site look different? Not really. Oh, there was a little animated image of the word radio being blocked out by a thumb that had the printed on it to change the name to The Shack. That's cute, but it still said Radio Shack in various areas over the web pages. The domain name RadioShack.com still works just fine. There were some special purchase items and pricing on the page, but likely those are there on a regular basis. I don't go there that often. Nothing too exciting there on the site that was really out of the ordinary. It appears that the Shack branding didn't just come out of the blue, however. According to a search of the Internet Archive Wayback Machine, Radio Shack has been using The Shack as a URL dating back to 1998, not long after the e-business boom was getting underway.
TheShack.com redirects to RadioShack.com.
Yes, it will. Yes, it will. And, of course, the question is, what are they going to do with the R logo? The reality is, apparently, they're not actually changing the name of Radio Shack. They're just going to use The Shack.
Now, will Shaquille O'Neal sue them?
Because it's spelled differently.
But
he's not The Shack.
He's just Shack. Yeah.
He's a Shack.
Right. I suspect it would be a problem if they used, like, Shack Attack or something. But
Spike Lee tried to sue TNT when they changed their name to Spike TV.
Right.
Right.
Speaking of ridiculous lawyer.
Speaking of ridiculous lawyer, exactly right. Actually, I think he won that case. Give us a call. What do you think about the Shack? Do you shop there? Are you more likely to shop there now that the word radio isn't being used?
I'm actually...
Did you even notice it happened? Do you care? Phone lines are open now. Operator is standing by.
They've mostly gone to just selling regular computers and radios. I used to go there all the time to get kit components and
You can still get them, but boy, you have to search for them.
Yeah, and it's almost easier just to buy it online now.
Yeah.
But I want to support my local businesses, because I is one.
You is
one.
Exactly right. Yeah, no. Exactly right.
In fact, for Sardar, we wanted to buy a new microphone for our PA system. So I went to a local company to buy. They had a really good microphone deal. They didn't carry them in store. We went to a computer and ordered them from their online store.
Ah, right there in the store.
Right, you went
online.
Store,
nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Did you get a discount at least for that?
It was the same price.
Oh, there you go.
Well, it's due to the guys over at the Radio Shack on Hudson Ave there that I was trying to get this set up.
Yep.
Because
yeah, these weird cables we need to plug our analog radios into our digital computers.
Well, my earpiece, I found, you know, like my big fat Greek wedding?
Yes.
When the girl gets up, she goes to stand and walks over to the desk, and all of a sudden she yanked back down on the floor. Well, that's what almost happened to me that first time. As I was going to hand you who the next caller was on the phone, I head over there, and all of a sudden my head's being launched back and just about my ear ripped off because I forgot the cord is so short.
Right. Yeah, and they didn't actually, like I said, they didn't actually change the name. They just are using thing. Archandra points out that's like using Jazz 90.1 instead of WGMC.
Yep.
He's right. It's a rebrand, not a rename. Yeah, one of his friends used to say Radio Snacks. I used to say Raggedy Shack.
So but, like the fast food restaurant that had to remove chicken from their name because the claims are it's not chicken anymore.
Yeah, right.
The internet will find anything for you, even especially if it's not true.
Right, right, right. So that kind of happens all the time. Who have we got here? Uh-oh, we have Dan on the line. Dan, where are you calling from?
The city of Rochester.
Rochester, New York?
Yes, sir.
Excellent.
On a salubrious Saturday.
It is a beautiful day in my neighborhood.
Yes, it is.
What can
gentlemen,
you do to
I had
make
something occur this morning on my computer, which is the Dell XP systems, and I've got the blue screen of death, I guess I can call it. It came up as system serious error, and the computer froze up. I had to restart it, and then I did get a warning box that had a bunch of, like, BC code, BCP1, BCP2, 3, and 4. I wrote all that stuff down. Sounds like they, when I Googled to see what it was, they said, check and see if your service pack is up to date, and it is. So this has never occurred. The only thing different that I, this weekend, is that last weekend I downloaded the Skype program, and I purchased and installed a camera on my computer. Could that have caused the system to freeze up and give me the system serious errors?
Well, if you remove the camera, do the errors go away?
Well, the camera, the program is, the camera is not on. It's just the whole, you
doesn't
know,
matter,
program.
The driver's loaded.
Yeah,
and when I
remove
the camera, what I meant was remove the driver.
I've restarted the computer, and as of now, as of the last 4 hours, I have not had a problem. So I just don't know what would have caused this entire, you know, could it have been the camera?
Could have been the camera drivers, yeah.
The problem in many cases is that when you bought the camera and it came with drivers, right?
Yeah, but I have installed a disc, yes.
Yeah. The problem is, how long has that camera been sitting on the shelf?
I have no idea.
Well, that's my point. And because of that, those could be for raw XP, Service Pack 1, Service Pack 2. And if you're up to Service Pack 3, I'll guarantee you something changed. So your best bet at this point is to uninstall the camera, including the drivers.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the camera manufacturer's website,
mm-hmm.
Download the latest version of their drivers, and make sure it matches your service pack.
Okay. Now, what about if I opened up the camera program and then checked for updates?
No, that probably only updates the program that runs the camera, not the driver that the program uses.
But it could.
It could.
Yeah, you're usually safer going directly to their website.
Right.
Okay, so I'll do that then.
Yep.
Yeah, that's probably your best bet. And in general, folks, for all of you listening out there today, that is a better way to go. Just the stuff you buy comes with a disc. I get all that. But who knows how long it's been sitting on the shelf, and who knows if the manufacturer ever updated that drive from the day XP came out,
really?
What, 22 years ago?
And,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of times the annoying thing is that you have to start with the disc and then load updates because the download you get isn't an installer, it's an updater.
Mm-hmm.
And if the installer isn't compatible with your Windows or your Mac, either way, then you're a little screwed. In fact, there's a big mess now with Adobe. There's a huge security. Do we have that news story?
Yeah, we do somewhere.
There's a huge security flaw in the Adobe PDF reader, 9 point something, that was fixed in 9.1.2, was it?
Yeah.
But if you go to Adobe to download the Flash Player, you get 9.1 Prime, basically.
Yeah.
And the first thing you're supposed to do is then install the patch. Well, that means that Adobe is still distributing a known vulnerable program. They haven't changed mm-hmm. their downloader to be the 9.1.2.
Gentlemen, one more question in regards to the camera driver. Is there a way for me to check to see what version driver I have right now, either by looking at the disk or opening up the program and then going to the manufacturer's website, which is Logitech?
If you go into the device manager,
mm-hmm.
and usually under the camera, you can then see what version of the device driver you're using.
That would be under the control panel?
Yes.
Under control panel, under the system, device manager, you'll see, you know, all the things listed. There's plus signs on the left-hand side.
I'm opening it up right now.
You go down to the camera, click on that, right-click on it, say properties, and it'll show you, you can see the drivers and all that stuff that it's using.
Okay, so system properties, device manager, click on that?
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then you'll be able to go down to find your camera, and it should show you.
Should.
It won't show you right there, but then you double, then you click on that, and it'll open up a window, and you can see all kinds of information about it.
All right, gentlemen, thank you for your assistance.
Thank you so much. That's one of the things that always, I hate to say it, always annoys me about Windows. Well, it didn't used to because I didn't know any better. Now that I run Linux all the time and everything updates to the latest version
automatically
for me, everything,
mm-hmm. You just take it for granted.
It annoys me when I have to sit down at my wife's machine and start updating mm-hmm. things. What do you mean I have to reboot now and then reboot again and then reboot a third time? Oh, my goodness, that annoys the living patoot out of me.
It's annoying that every program has its own updater.
You
have to go to Adobe to get the Adobe updates. You have to go to your printer company to get your printer driver updates.
And they don't even tell you you need an update.
Unless you subscribe to their email newsletter that most people don't want to do to get off junk.
Well, there was a service for a while that you could subscribe to.
Yeah, there was one called the Oil Change where you told it all the drivers you had and it would tell you when an update came out. I don't know if they're still around or there's a version tracker and download.com. Most of the places where you download drivers like this, there's a notify me when a new driver comes out. But it's just annoying. Although if then Microsoft tried to roll all that into Microsoft update or Apple rolls all those other third party updates into the Apple update.
And they'd screw up your machine faster.
Yeah, that could generate more problems.
Right.
Yeah. So
no, I understand why they do that, but that's the thing I love about Linux. I get a thing that tells me, you have updates. I click the button, and every single thing on my system, all the drivers, all the programs, all the operating system, everything, get updated all at once. The only time I ever have to reboot is if I actually update the operating system. Well, duh.
Yeah.
But I never, otherwise I never have to reboot. I love it. I love it. It's, I don't ever want to go back. I'm sorry. It's just so convenient to do it this way. And I know it's not Windows. Oh, my God, it's not Windows. But for me, it's so
I'm surprised you haven't converted
so
your wife, though.
Convenient. No, it's she's one
different.
Of those, oh, my God, it's not Windows people.
Yeah. And it's just different and very hard. I had a customer yesterday was going from a desktop to a laptop and had never used a trackpad before and didn't understand how the button worked because she'd always used a mouse. And, you know, it's the same button. It's just at the bottom instead of on the left.
Yep.
But it was conceptually different, and she had trouble picking it up.
I have a friend who uses a trackball on his laptop. It's a separate, it looks like a mouse, but it's got a trackball.
Yeah, it's an upside-down mouse.
And I have watched, basically it is. And I have watched people sit at that thing, grab the trackball, and start moving around the desk and get all porky that the mouse is broken.
Yep.
Well, it's not what they're used to. I get that. I really do. But, man, I'll tell you what. It's like I've always said. It's like buying a new car. which I hope to do at some point soon, unless somebody wants a ticket to the show. When you buy a new car, you still know how to drive. You just don't know where the radio is, or any, you know, the controls, and it takes you a couple of days, hopefully while driving around back roads, so that, you know, you're not pulling in any Kovacs. And so you learn them. After a week or so, you don't even realize you didn't know where they were. You know, you're driving along, you go over and change the radio or set the air conditioning or whatever. You don't even think about it.
At least,
but it takes those couple of weeks to do it.
At least they standardized gas pedal on the right and brake on the left.
Yes, they have. Yes, and we all drive from sitting in the left-hand side of the car now, and that's all good, too.
Although there's still companies, some countries that haven't, have it.
No.
Well, yeah, some countries are still left-hand drive and right-hand drive. And, yeah, everything is different when you get over there.
The tough part is my daughter went there, and the tough part is remembering to look
the other way.
The other way when you're crossing the streets.
Yeah.
You know? It's very hard. You have to look to the right first. Because that's where your traffic is coming.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of hard. All right, let's talk a little bit more about that Adobe Reader thing. No? You don't think so?
It's almost noon.
Is it almost noon already? Jeez, and Crackers, time sure flies when you're having fun. And I don't know about you people out there, but we're having fun.
And just remind folks again that we, on the upcoming hour, Graham, we're going to go to a break here in a minute. You know, if you get a chance, stay tuned. We're going to be giving away more tickets.
This party is going to be way fun. It is September 5th. It is at the Rochester Radisson Riverside Hotel. There's too many R's, not enough H's. And we hope you will join us there. It's going to be a great event. It's our 20th anniversary. That's just monumental. We've been on the air with a computer call-in show for 20 years. And I think that deserves a break. So we're going to take a slightly longer one, just a few minutes now. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray. Lori will be on the phones in the other room at a couple of points. I'm Nick Francesco. What?
I still want to get her on mic sometime.
We need to, but she's sitting there. She's standing there going, oh, not in your lifetime.
Quick, spin the camera around.
And she's gone. And she's gone. Back in just a couple of minutes on member-supported Jazz 90.1 with the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGNC Greece Rochester. A public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
Streaming online at jazz901.org.
Bill Mays has a new CD, Mays at the Movies. I had the chance to talk with him by phone at his wilderness retreat in Pennsylvania. Are you still scoring movies?
I never wrote much for movies. I mostly have contributed as a player. My writing has been in the form of incidental music, but I have not made that part of my career as a movie scorer. I work on movies. Last year I did 4 or 5. The latest thing I played on was this movie called Julie and Julia about Julia Childs. It's just coming out.
Oh, right, yeah.
A beautiful score by Alexandre Desplat, and I played piano and I think harpsichord on that. I played harpsichord on the Tom Hanks movie Lady Killers a couple, 3 years ago because it was that kind of a small chamber group format. So as a keyboard player, you're often called upon to play synthesizers or organs or celeste or harpsichord or Fender Rhodes, you know, what have you, and it's just part of the arsenal.
You've had a very successful career. You've been playing for a long time. You've got recordings coming out. Is there something you've always wanted to do that you've never been able to do that you can see coming in the
There is actually. I want to release a solo DVD, and it's already been done in a television studio, high definition, and it'll be out one of these days soon. The other thing that I really have never done and want to do is an album with strings, a ballad album. So that's in the works. It won't happen for a while, but we're putting the groundwork together for that.
One thing is certain: as soon as it's ready, Bill Mays will be alerting us from wherever he is in the world. I'm Helen Borgers.
Hear a full hour of Sitting In with Helen Borgers every Friday at noon on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Home safety is a family effort. Being safe and sound should be everyone's priority. In times like these, theft and violence can strike anywhere. Protect your family. Keep your home well-lighted and always lock doors and windows. Installing alarms adds an extra level of protection. Never leave valuables in plain sight. To learn more about protecting your home and family, visit ncpc.org or contact your local law enforcement agency.
A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
New artist Io talks about how radio changed her career.
I started playing at radio stations. I wasn't even signed, and they invited me to come and play. It became a little bit like a second home. Whenever I was in the area, I would pass by, and I would walk by, and I would be there with my guitar, and I could just play my music. And that's how people found out about me.
Radio is home. It's always on, always free, and there's always something new. Go to RadioHeardHere.com.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
So I says that it's stinking rotten Rob Lynn. Oh, are we back on the air?
Yeah.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave.
I'm Steve Ray.
And we are Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Yeah, but see, unlike some other stations, I suspect Rob actually does listen pretty regularly to the show.
I'm sitting there writing it down there a little bit.
That's right. He's going, I remember this. I'm going to get him at some point. He'll know. We'll talk a little bit about that Adobe Reader thing. What we want to talk about a little bit also is Foxit Reader, a free PDF reading knockoff of Adobe System Inc.'s free Adobe Reader, has won what its maker estimates is 70 million users worldwide because of its speed and lightweight. The latest version of Foxit Reader 3.0 for Windows is a svelte 3 megabyte download compared to Adobe Reader 9.1 for Windows, which tips the scale at 25 megabytes. And Foxit now has something else going for it. Better security. For the past year and a half, Adobe Reader has been plagued by numerous nasty bugs, including zero-day vulnerabilities that, if unleashed by a witting enterprise employee, could have devastating consequences. Facing criticism, Adobe is aiming to release security patches more quickly, but it's not fast enough for many companies, according to various researchers. As a result of the number of zero-day attacks on PDFs this year, for example, large banks hate Adobe. First released in 2004, Foxit Reader's downloads have been growing at about 10% a month this year to almost 4 million a month, according to Eric Bryant, who's the director of sales for Foxit Software and therefore ought to know. We're not only getting more downloads, but also more inquiries from large corporations who want to replace Adobe Reader for as many as hundreds of thousands of employees, Bryant said. For one, Foxit is talking to an unnamed American bank about replacing Adobe Reader for all 300,000 of its workers, as well as all related Adobe tools, such as Adobe Acrobat. Such tools are key to Foxit, with enterprise-supported versions of the Foxit Reader going at a very low per-seat price. Foxit makes most of its money from tools, such as its PDF software development kit, which is sold to software developers, and enterprise tools such as the PDF Creator, which can replace the more expensive Adobe Acrobat. So if you're the sort of person who just needs Adobe Reader and you worry about the fact that it's got a lot of security holes, Foxit Reader is free. Alternately, if you're the sort of person who would like to buy the Adobe PDF Creator, you can save money by buying, instead of buying Adobe Acrobat, you can save money by buying Foxit PDF Creator. And of course, Steve will put that on the link on the site, but it's at foxitsoftware.com, foxitsoftware.com, foxitsoftware.com. Now, Foxit, by necessity, does lack some of Adobe Reader's features, such as the ability to display 3D images in CAD-created PDFs. That's kind of a niche user thing. I don't think most people need it. Niche.
You got it. Niche.
Well, and one of the the issues, one of the reasons of the security vulnerabilities in Adobe is because it executes Java code and HTML code. So if you have a PDF with a link in it, you can click the link and it sends you over to a website. Mm-hmm. Well, that opens the inherent insecurity of it.
Right.
And all the Java exploits and HTML exploits that get brought along inside the PDF reader.
Yep. So, yeah, that's we find a lot of people are having real doubts at this point about Adobe. They've just had so many holes lately that people are just not confident in them anymore. I'm sure they're still magnificent company and magnificent pieces of software and everything else. They're just people are not confident.
And it's one of the problems in programming is that for years, people just wrote programs. And the bugs they tried to work out were programming errors. I click this and the wrong thing happens. They never really designed applications with security as an issue from a security standpoint.
Right.
So most of the exploits we see are buffer overruns. In fact, we were just talking about one the other day. Web-based routers are extremely vulnerable because you log into the router over the website with a username and password. And people have found out, and a lot of this has come out from the Black Hat convention, our conference last week, where these exploits were talked about. If you can paste anything you want into that username and password field. It doesn't have to be a username and password. People have found that if you paste Java code into the username and password field, the login attempt fails, but that failed login attempt is logged in the router system logs. And then if you or the admin or whoever views those system logs, that Java code will execute.
Right.
And so buffer overruns, you know, putting in more data than a username field needs. You know, they always, you hear, you know, your username has to be 15 characters or less and your password has to be 8 characters or more. You know, that should be their first check. If there's more than 10 characters or more than 12 characters, whatever your limit is, just ignore the input. And all of these buffer overruns where the extra input is somehow executed after the buffer overrun happens allows people into these systems. So it's the entire concept of programming has to change to start taking security into a primary objective rather than just getting the program to work right. So it's a huge issue for the entire programming world.
Yeah. And plus, you know, not only that, but plus all the different hardware that they have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing folks soon forget about is, you know, how many different pieces of hardware have, you know, been added and changed.
And the combination of all those hardware pieces inside the average computer?
Unbelievable.
In fact, there's no such thing as the average computer anymore.
No. You can just do a generic, you know, because there's so many different motherboard manufacturers, video card, CD, DVD.
Yeah.
You know, on and on and on.
Right. All right. Elaine from Albion, New York writes, I understand that Smart Defender Pro is a scam program. How do I remove it from my PC? Uninstall does not work. Yes. Smart Defender Pro is one of those fake antivirus programs. It's from the same family as Virus Remover Professional, which is another fake.
Mm-hmm.
It won't uninstall no matter what button you press or whatever. So don't install it. It's called Smart Defender Pro. Do not install it. And the way to get rid of it, Elaine, is using Malwarebytes. Malwarebytes will remove it. So if you dance the security tango, or in this particular case, just for that one, if you uninstall... If you run Malwarebytes and have it scan your system, it should remove Software Defender Pro with Smart Defender Pro without any trouble. So check that out, Malwarebytes, and you can read about it, of course, at soundbytes.org.
Now, if some of them don't want to remove, what I suggest is don't worry about it. If it won't run in say regular mode, try starting the machine up in safe mode. Run the Malwarebytes, let it run, and get rid of most of the junk that's out in there. Then reboot your machine in regular mode. Try doing the update then, because quite often it will, you know, allow you to then download. One thing, though, while you're in safe mode, turn off the restore points. Because like we were saying before, if it's hiding in the restore files, the minute you remove it, sure, it's out of the programs, but the minute you reboot it, it's got it keyed and buried to reactivate it because it's sitting in the restore files, and you get reinfected.
And that's becoming a bigger and bigger issue, is the fake anti-malware programs and fake antivirus programs masquerading as good programs, named very similar to good programs. It's very tricky for average users to know if this is a real program or a fake program when the message pops up on your screen.
Yep. And people, and really, I'm not a big fan, and I hate to say it, but I'm just not a big fan of the system restore points. It sounds like such a good idea, but it causes so many more problems than it actually solves, that I try to steer people away from it. I just don't think it's a good idea.
See, I found it very helpful at times.
Until it gets infected. Yeah.
But even though, if the machine is that infected, I can usually take it out, put it on my bench.
Yeah.
And clean
if
it
you
up.
Have a second computer, then it's
right,
easy
right,
to
because
finish it, your
because
first one.
Right, because what has happened is the system restore area is not being protected by the operating system, and you can clean it.
And I can clean
and that's
it.
Fine.
Yeah.
But what people forget is if the system is working well, you don't need to restore it.
Right.
And if you get a virus and you've done you've created a restore point, that virus is in it.
Mm-hmm.
So you turn off system restore, you clean your machine. Once you're sure it's clean, then turn on system restore and do a save.
Yeah.
That's okay, but people forget to do those steps.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. All right, I'll get to it later.
Oh, yeah, I'll get to it later.
Can't. Yeah, you can't. Is that camera up and working, folks?
Mm-hmm.
Know that they can see you two guys?
I don't know, are we?
Back it up a little bit so we can see you, too.
No, that's all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to put a link back on the front page of the website. So it's soundbites.org/showcam.php.
Yeah, I keep forgetting to do that.
And we've got the live camera. Well, it's a 10-second refresh update.
Right. And it is a fixed focus camera. We're going to have to get a
variable
focus.
I found a nice little one called the Ice Cam that we sell. It's like $30 with adjustable focus.
I just need to see how to adapt it to this current bracket.
Yeah.
Modifications.
So, yeah, a lot of what happened is they've got a little webcam, which is designed for video conferencing. So it's designed to sit on your monitor a few feet away from you. So it's fixed focus, which makes them cheaper, because it's intended to be just on your monitor looking at you for a little webcam. So it doesn't work very well on the other side of the room trying to take a wide-angle picture.
Actually, Rock has the same question I have. Does the Ice Cam work on Linux?
Let's see. System requirements. Mac or Windows. It is a UVC generic USB video class device.
Then maybe.
Then so if there are if there are generic UVC drivers for Linux, it will work.
Right.
See,
right,
most
right.
time it's better anyways that the folks sit there and see you because of the angle we got to do it. Because 90% of the time they're looking at the backside of
your
my head.
Well, it's a good side.
Thank you.
Yeah. Sure. UVC capture USB UVC video class snapshot software.
Yep. Where did you find that camera? Because when I was looking for the specifications, I could only find it in New Zealand.
My partner Dan found it.
$5 on eBay, probably.
Why not?
No, I think we got it from one of our distributors.
Yeah, interesting.
Why not?
Yeah, because Logitech's main, it's a Logitech camera. They're one of the big camera companies. On their main page, it isn't listed. I found it on their New Zealand page. So
wow.
It's only sold in New Zealand. I guess in New Zealand, they just have fixed focus.
It's a smaller country. People can't get as far away from the camera there.
Or they fall off the land.
And if they do, they're in Mordor. So what's the point? At that point, what's good about that? Well, here's an interesting piece of news. Just as Bing is gaining popularity, some disturbingly pro-Microsoft and anti-Apple search results rear their ugly head. Microsoft, as you know, puts out Bing, and it's their answer to Google. It's all been fixed, so don't bother doing it now. But earlier in the week, a search on Bing for the phrase, "Why is Windows so expensive?" returned as the top link. Why are Macs so expensive? That's right. Why is Windows so expensive? Returned. Why are Macs so expensive. When I tried this on Thursday night, all of the links were about this story. That was all the top links there. The top response on the Bing to a question about the price of Windows was a question about the price of Macs. But it wasn't just the top link. The rest of the links on the first search page didn't get much better. There was only one link about the price of vinyl Windows, actual Windows that you look through, one on why Windows hosting providers are so expensive, and one about fish. The five other links on the page were ones about how expensive Macs were. The Windows client OS was not even mentioned on the entire first page. If Microsoft is going to resort to blocking and self-protection of their search engine, they could at least be a little subtle about it. This is about as subtle as an Uzi. Type the same phrase over at Google, by the way, and Google did its job. Returned a long list of links about whether Windows OS is inexpensive or expensive, although the link about vinyl Windows is there too. Apparently vinyl Windows are all the rage. Of course, now I'd rather have a window you can see through rather than a window made of vinyl, but that's just me. Of course, now they're interspersed with blogs on this topic too, so going there won't do much good for you right now anyway. There is evidence that Microsoft is aware of the Bing results shenanigans and has made adjustments. An article written 2 weeks ago on an internet marketing site called out Bing for censoring search results. The article highlighted two phrases: why is Microsoft Word so expensive, and is Microsoft evil that we're bringing up censored results? The first of the search results about Microsoft Word linked to a page about how expensive Manhattan is. Apparently, Microsoft is comparing itself and competing with Manhattan now. Whatever. The top results in the Is Microsoft Evil question were, get this, a link to a New York Times story about whether or not Google is considered evil, a link about proxy servers, and a link to a story about Microsoft being charitable. Wow. But those results have magically changed.
Is this human-powered? Or is there an algorithm in there? If Microsoft then put these good answers?
Clearly, yes. As of Wednesday, however, search results for these phrases actually seemed uncensored. Is Bing evil? Not yet, but its search results seem to be, at best, sloppy. Sloppy is one thing, but sloppy and censored, that's when evil starts lurking. Keep it fair, Microsoft. All right, we are going to take another... Oh, doggone it. Sorry, Dave. We're going to take another quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you. You continue listening to the greatest computer show in the known universe and the longest running at nigh on to 20 years, Soundbites, right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Soundbites, America's longest-running computer show, is celebrating 20 years on air. Join Jazz 90.1 as we celebrate this great occasion with a party and live broadcast Saturday, September 5th at the Radisson Hotel Rochester Riverside in downtown Rochester. Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray will broadcast Soundbites live from the Radisson from noon to 2, answering all your computer questions just as they have for the past two decades. You can ask your questions in person on the air and meet Nick, Dave, and Steve, and enjoy munchies, a cash bar, and even a birthday cake. You can only get tickets by listening to Jazz 90.1. For more info, visit jazz901.org or call 966-2660.
The Jazz 90.1 member card is more than just a card. It's our way of thanking you for supporting Jazz 90.1. Because in return, you can save money all year long by showing your Jazz 90.1 member card for discounts at fine local member card businesses, including 45 East Fine Jewelers, Adams Basin Inn, Antonetta's Italian Restaurant, The Bob Shop, Bert Shapiro Photography, Hedonist Artisan Chocolates, Leaf and Bean Coffee Company, Lorraine's Food Factory, Mary Boyce of Mario's Hair Studio, Mind and Body Connection, New Health Cafe, Small World Bakery, Sound Source, and Tuxedo Corner, Irondequoit and Gates locations. So carry your Jazz 90.1 member card and show it when you shop. For a complete and up-to-date list of member card businesses, visit our website at www.jazz901.org. To get your member card, call 966-5299. That's 966-JAZZ. And become a member of Jazz 90.1.
Hello, this is Joelle Van Buren. Join me weekday mornings from 6 till 10 on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Sue Ray.
And you are listening to Sound Bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Uh-oh.
I'm in the mood to give away tickets.
For giving away stuff.
Yep. All right. Tell you what. If you're the 10th caller, pick up the phone, dial 966-5299, 1-800-790-0415. Be the 10th caller to win some tickets to the Soundbites birthday party. Now remember, staff, volunteers, underwriters of Jazz 90.1, their families, and listeners who have won the past 30 days. Sorry, folks. Can't come. Complete contest rules are available.
You can
by
come. You can't if you're. I guess no. You can't. You gotta, can't
you
win
gotta
a ticket.
Have a ticket.
Right.
Yeah. So if you write Jazz 90.1 contest rules 1139 Maiden Lane, Rochester, New York 14615, they will send you out the rules. But pick up the phone. Be the 10th caller at 966-5299. 1-800-790-0415. Be the 10th caller, and you could win some tickets to the Soundbites birthday party.
Call in now. The party's going to happen September 5th. They're going fast. Call in September. The party is September 5th at the Rochester, at the Radisson Riverside Hotel. I don't know if it's the Rochester Radisson, Rochester Riverside, Rochester.
Yeah, they keep changing the names.
Hotel. Ruh-roh, Raggy. I can't do it. It's one of the many voices I can't do. I used to be pretty good at it when I was a kid. My daughter would say, "Daddy, tell me a story," you know, before she went to sleep. She'd say, and so here she'd say, "Tell me a story about Scooby." So I'd have to do all the voices. I was not very good at either Daphne or Velma, but the rest of my actually was pretty good at it for a while.
You were a dad, but you tried your best.
I did my best, and she fell asleep, and half the time so did I. I used to put her to sleep doing the multiplication tables.
Ooh. Well, they did that in that Tom Selleck movie, Three Men and a Baby.
I don't know that. I never saw that movie.
It doesn't matter what you read to your baby to put them to sleep. It's just your intonation.
No, when she was like 4, 5, 6, 7.
Yeah, so he's reading his law books that he's studying for. And
there you go.
In the party of the first part, when they went to the party of the second part.
Yeah, I guess
part.
It's yeah. just the voice inflection yeah. and all that.
Yeah.
Just soothes them.
Yeah. Well, at any rate, the party is September 5th. At the Rochester Riverside Radisson Riverside Hotel. And the party is from 11 to 3. We will be there through the entire time, but from noon to 2, of course, we'll be live on the air. So if you're at the party and you want to get on the air, you can sit on my lap. I reserve the right to determine who sits on my lap.
What is this with the lap all of a sudden?
I don't know. I just started it a couple of weeks ago, and now it's become part of the rap, I guess, is how that works. It's part of the spiel now. So we're going to have a great time. There's going to be hors d'oeuvres and, you know, snacky, munchy things. There's a cash bar. There's going to be a birthday cake for 150 people. That's a big cake. And there's going to be all kinds of special surprises that we aren't going to tell you about now until after you get your tickets. And so, yes?
Okay, we got a winner.
Excellent. We already have a winner.
We have a winner, folks.
Excellent. It's going to be a great time, and I can't wait for it. God bless the folks here at Jazz 90.1, member-supported Jazz 90.1. They've gone way out of their way. We just started here, and they've gone way out of their way. Rob and Laura Land have put together a phenomenal thing. And we're going to have a great party, and it's all thanks to them. God bless each and every one of them. We got a tweet actually asking us about what do we think Max Snow Leopard. 3D Warehouse has asked us that question.
Well,
probably his avatar is not, in fact, 3D. Or maybe I just don't have the glasses on. I don't know how that works.
It's actually a little hard to tell at the moment because it isn't actually shipping.
You guys don't get a preview?
Oh, of course not.
It's Apple.
It's Apple, yeah.
People
in the developer...
I don't work for them anymore.
The developer program have copies of it. And, of course, the pirate sites have copies of it.
You're right.
But the big thing with Snow Leopard... The big thing is it's going to be significantly faster than the current Leopard. And the way it's doing that is by being Intel only. Several years ago, in January of 2003, Apple switched their computers from using the IBM PowerPC processor to the Intel Core architecture, and so had a program environment at that time and since then called Universal Binary. So every Mac program that has come out is PowerPC and Intel in one program. So basically every program has twice the amount of code that it needs to run, so it knows which platform it's running on. So what they're doing in Snow Leopard is they're removing all of the PowerPC code, and so Snow Leopard will be Intel only and will only run on an Intel-based Mac. And if you don't know what processor your Mac has in it, you can go to the Apple menu and choose About This Mac, and it will tell you. So it will be Intel only, and so by removing all of that code, they're saying you get about 6 gigabytes of disk space back. So 6 gigabytes of PowerPC code have been removed, and it just makes everything that much faster.
But if you've got a Mac Mini or an older Mac...
Well, some Mac Minis were PowerPC and some were Intel.
Oh.
And that's what makes it confusing. Apple's been releasing radically different computers with the same name. So the iMac brand has been out for 10 years now, more than 10 years now, and it's the first iMacs were G3s, then they're G4, then they're G5, and then they're Intel Core 1s, and then currently they're Core 2s, but it's the same iMac name. That's why if you go to your Apple menu and choose About This Mac, it will tell you if you're a PowerPC or Intel.
Which are you?
I have an Intel Core 2 Duo running at 2.4 gigahertz. And this is
right under processor there.
Yep. So that's the biggest thing about it is it's going to be that much faster. For developers, they're adding a whole bunch of new stuff into it that developers will be able to take advantage of in future versions of programs. And one of the biggest ones is called OpenCL, which is a power that uses your graphics card for processing. Because
OpenGL.
No, this is a new one. OpenCL.
For Cocoa.
I don't know what it...
Doesn't matter.
The OpenGL was a graphics language that if you're writing, say, games, you can write to OpenGL versus DirectX graphics language. So this new OpenCL, for Open Computing Language, I think it is, allows computers to use your graphics processor for computational tasks rather than the CPU, the central processing unit. Because video cards, graphics cards, have gotten so fast and can run so many billions of calculations per second, oftentimes a lot faster than your CPU, that the graphics cards can really do a lot of power. So now programmers will be able to, in essence, you've got your dual processor CPU, and you've got a third processor on your GPU. And, in fact, many of the GPUs are multi-core also.
Yeah.
So you can end up with lots and lots of processors.
Most of the graphics cards nowadays that folks are putting in standard are 256, minimum, 512, and gig.
They've got so much memory on them already.
Yeah. I know a person who's put 8 video cards, 8 GPU video cards in a system. Had to do a lot of screwing around to get the inboard video to continue to work.
Yeah.
So we could actually, see stuff, because all 8 of them are being used to do computation.
Yep.
So, pretty astonishing
stuff.
So
a lot of the distributed technologies like SETI at home and folding at home can use the GPU. And, in fact, the PlayStation 3 is a very good SETI at home computer. And there are PlayStation networks that do a lot of the SETI and folding research. And if you look at their top computational statistics on the respective websites, you'll often find those PlayStation 3s are real high up there because video game consoles have to have a really good video card, to make the gameplay that realistic.
Good video card with lots of onboard video RAM.
Yep.
That's one of the things we talked about last night, is on laptops, often the video is not very good.
Yeah.
First, they don't use a good card to begin with, and secondly, they don't use a lot of RAM on the card. They actually share RAM with the memory in the machine, and that memory is much, much, much slower than the video RAM you would normally get on the card.
But it makes it cheaper.
It makes it a lot cheaper, and
cheap
that's the point.
Usually winning. Yeah.
Yep.
Like, so on my laptop here, I've got the they make it sneaky. I've got the Intel GMA X3100 processor. That's a shared video processor.
Yeah, right, right. They just don't tell you
they
that.
They don't tell you that. You just have to know that.
Right. Mm-hmm. And whatever memory it says it has, it's taken away from the memory in the machine.
Right.
So if you get 3 gig of RAM and it's taking a gig, you've got 2 gig left.
Right.
Right.
But it does make the computers cheaper. So that's your trade-off, price versus performance.
Right. All right, our next caller is Gerd. Gerd, where are you calling from?
Victor, New York.
Lovely Victor, New York. What can we do for you?
All right, you keep talking about Linux.
Yeah.
And I might have missed something because I was in and out of the car, and now I'm home and all that stuff. How do you put it on the computer? Does it interfere with Windows? Does it interfere with, Firefox and all
right,
that
stuff? Right. Well, there are two ways that you can put Linux on a Windows machine. One is to replace Windows entirely, in which case you no longer have Windows.
Okay.
And the other way is to dual boot.
Okay.
But your best bet, I think, if you just want to learn Linux and play with it and see what it does,
yeah,
there's a great product called WUBI, W-U-B-I, at wubi-installer.org, and Steve will make sure that gets up there. And what it is, it stands for Windows Ubuntu Installer.
Okay.
Right. And what that is it lets WUBI is essentially a single file, WUBI.exe, and you download it and put it on your hard drive. When you double click on it, it turns your machine into a Windows machine.
Okay.
And when you exit it turns your machine into a Linux machine.
Okay.
And when you exit Linux, you're back in Windows.
Okay.
Automatically, boom, done. You don't have to do a reboot. You don't have to do any of that stuff.
WUBI-installer.org. Okay.
So it's a way to let you play with Linux without replacing your Windows. So in essence, Windows is an operating system that
right.
runs stuff on your computer. Linux is a completely different operating system that runs completely different stuff. So it's completely separate from Windows.
All different animal.
Although programs like Firefox exist for Mac, Windows, and Linux, so the same programs or similar programs can be run under Linux instead of under Windows. Instead of running Microsoft Office under Windows, you can run OpenOffice under Linux. And you can actually run OpenOffice under Windows as well. The
right.
really cool thing about the Linux community is that it's all free. The operating system is free. All the software is free. So it's really popular because it's free.
Right. Now, there's also a version called Mint for Win, which does Linux Mint. WUBI does Ubuntu.
Different versions of Linux. It's like Windows 98 and Windows
right.
2000. They do different things. They do the same thing different ways.
Right.
Okay.
They're just the same product from essentially two different companies. There's
okay.
also going to be a product called MUBI for the Mac, using Mac as the host.
Cool.
But that's not out yet. It's a pretty cool product. There's a third way to do it. Well, I already talked about it. The other way you can do it is when you go to install Windows, when you go to install Linux, it'll say, oh, you've already got Windows. Do you want to wipe it out or do you want a dual boot? So you could create a dual boot. But the nice thing about WUBI is that it's already, it just sits on your hard drive. You can play without a problem. And then if you decide, yeah, I really want to have this, then you can decide to either dual boot or toss Windows entirely. It's a great way to get your toe in the water without having to do anything weird.
Do you still use all of your safety programs and all that?
No, the programs are, Firefox is available, Opera is available, a whole bunch of the same programs are available. Instead of Internet Explorer, certainly you would use Firefox. Instead of Microsoft Office, you would use OpenOffice, which is very, very similar and absolutely free. Instead of the $700 people are paying for
right.
a full-blown Office, you get OpenOffice for free. And again, it's like I say about operating systems. OpenOffice does all the same stuff Windows does for the average user. It just is a little different, and you have to get used to how it works. It's
okay.
just like buying a new car.
Yeah.
So, and then in fact, there's a version of OpenOffice for Windows. If you buy a new Windows system, there's no reason to spend that $700 for a full-blown version of Office when you can download OpenOffice for free. It has the word processor, the spreadsheet, the presentation program, and the database.
And Word, you can export things out to PDF.
In fact, you can make, and you can automatically export things out to PDF, and it's just a very cool product all the way around.
Very good.
There you go.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Great show.
Thank you. That's what I like to hear.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah, I'm continue to be a gigantic fan of OpenOffice. I really like it. Nice product. All right, we're going to stick with the phones. Oh, it's our buddy Dar. Dar in Ontario. Dar, how are you today? Dar?
Hold on. I'm sorry.
Yep, Dar, are you there?
That button?
Yep.
There you are. How are you today?
Fine, and you, sir?
I'm peachy, thanks.
What is
it
about the Wubi?
Yeah, Wubi is a product.
No, I know that. I did it 3 years ago. No big deal.
There you go.
But please mention that the guy should defrag Windows before they go through installing Wubi.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. I don't think of that much because I generally either put it on a new system or on a system with such a gigantic hard drive that it's hardly noticeable.
Put it in another hard drive.
You're absolutely right, Dar. You should defrag Windows first because one of the things Wubi does is set aside a huge amount of disk space in order for you to put files on it while you're playing with it or using it for real. You really want to have as much contiguous space as possible.
Or your friends say Linux sucks because it's so damn slow.
Right. That's exactly right. If it's fragmented all over the hard drive, it runs slowly. You're absolutely right, Dar.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you, ma'am.
Now, can it install on a separate hard drive?
You install it anywhere you want, but it's not a bootable system.
Right.
So if, for example, you've got two hard drives in your machine and one is just for data storage, defrag that one and install Wubi over there.
Right.
That'll work, too, just as well.
Cool.
But Dara's absolutely right. It should be, it should definitely be defragged before you use it. It's a pretty cool product. It runs, you know, I've got, at work, I've tried it. I've got a very, you know, work paid for it, so it's a very fast machine, and it runs just fine. Nothing runs.
Now I've got my Bash shell here in BSD. What can I run?
You've got Bash.
Yeah.
That's right. You've got a. We'll talk about this.
Yeah, what cool command can I type in there?
Yeah, there's all kinds of good stuff. Let me tell you right now.
RM minus R.
Yes. RM minus RF. Try that one. See what happens.
Do not try that at home. We are joking.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We've only got a few seconds before the break starts, don't we? Or we got the full 30. I have time? All right. Here's the deal. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you. You're listening to Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Got a computer question? Call the boys now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll free 800-790-0415. Online at soundbites.org. Soundbites continues next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
The Jazz 90.1 member card is more than just a card. It's our way of thanking you for supporting Jazz 90.1. Because in return, you can save money all year long by showing your Jazz 90.1 member card for discounts at fine local member card businesses, including 45 East Fine Jewelers, Adams Basin Inn, Antonetta's Italian Restaurant, The Bob Shop, Bert Shapiro Photography, Hedonist Artisan Chocolates, Leaf and Bean Coffee Company, Lorraine's Food Factory, Mary Boyce of Mario's Hair Studio, Mind and Body Connection, New Health Cafe, Small World Bakery, Sound Source, and Tuxedo Corner, Irondequoit and Gates locations. So carry your Jazz 90.1 member card and show it when you shop. For a complete and up-to-date list of member card businesses, visit our website at www.jazz901.org. To get your member card, call 966-5299. That's 966-JAZZ, and become a member of Jazz 90.1.
Sound Bites, America's longest-running computer show, is celebrating 20 years on air. Join Jazz 90.1 as we celebrate this great occasion with a party and live broadcast Saturday, September 5th at the Radisson Hotel Rochester Riverside in downtown Rochester. Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray will broadcast Sound Bites live from the Radisson from noon to 2, answering all your computer questions just as they have for the past two decades. You can ask your questions in person on the air and meet Nick, Dave, and Steve, and enjoy munchies, a cash bar, and even a birthday cake. You can only get tickets by listening to Jazz 90.1. For more info, visit jazz901.org or call 966-2660.
Hi, this is Charles Benoit. Join me and the entire Smart Set tonight from 5 to 6 right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And it's been a long time, apparently, since I've looked at the little light that tells me my mic is on. But we are back on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Oh, we've got a caller on the line. Holy cow. They're coming left and right. It's Ron. Ron, where are you calling from?
Rochester.
Rochester, New York. What can we do to make you a happy man?
Give me a new computer.
Yeah, well, good luck. I haven't gotten my new car yet, either.
That's okay. I'm running Windows XP. I downloaded a version called CA Virus, Antivirus, Spam, and Spyware.
Right.
And I was told to get rid of it because there's so many files that it conflicts with existing files in the computer. And so I'm trying to get rid of it, but the only way I can get rid of it, I see no uninstall. I only have add and remove programs.
Oh, wow.
So if I go to add and remove programs, the only thing I find is remove window components. And I'm not sure if that's the way to go or if there's another way to get rid of it.
Yeah, try downloading and installing Revo. That's R-E-V-O. Revo will then uninstall the program. It does a great job. We recommend using that over the add remove programs in Windows. Oh. It will get rid of all the registry entries, all the folders on your hard drive. It does a thorough job of cleaning it out.
Okay, can you give me that one more time, please?
R-E-V-O. That's Roy Oscar Victor. No, that's Roy Echo Victor Oscar.
Yeah. Okay, so then I was going to download either AVG or another antivirus.
AVG,
do you recommend
is nice.
Anything?
I like Avast right
I
now.
Like it. I've been using Avast, Super Anti-Spyware, and Malware Bytes.
Okay.
And I've posted some links on the from the CA website on how to overcome problems if you're trying to uninstall the CA antivirus.
And
but it's, the conflicts with other Windows programs have happened with pretty much all the antivirus programs, and it's as we were mentioning a little earlier in the show, it's the catch-22 between good programs and bad programs, and they're trying to predict what a bad program is going to try to do and can accidentally mark a good program as a bad program. So it's
right.
It's a problem that all of them have. So yeah, there's not necessarily anything wrong with CA, but yeah.
Yep. And by the way, Revo can be found at revouninstaller.com. And of course, that's all one word, revouninstaller.com.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
You're Thank welcome. You. At Rover Oscar Charlie Nancy.
Rover Echo Victor Oscar.
Whatever that is.
All right, tell you what. Let's do it, gang.
Whiskey Tango Foxtrot.
Let's give away another pair of tickets. Be the 10th caller at 966-5299, 1-800-790-0415. Be the 10th caller, and you could win some tickets to the Soundbites birthday party. Like I said, again, pick up the phone, dial 966-5299, 1-800-790-0415. Be the 10th caller, and you could win some tickets to the Soundbites birthday party. It's coming up fast, folks. We're already in to August. And, matter of fact, I've been seeing the ads. I love the one, I'm going to say it anyways, for Staples.
Yeah.
You see the parent, and he's going by in the, you know, in the cart, and he's all joyous. And there's the two kids following behind moping because it's back to school.
Yep. I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to this party, though.
Oh.
It is back to school time. Every parent on earth is looking forward to that. to that. In terms of the party, however, it is September 5th.
Yes.
It's going to be at the Radisson Riverside Hotel. We will be, the party is from 11 to 3. We will be there the whole time, but from 12 to 2, we'll be live on the air. So if you want to be on the air, you can sit on my lap and talk on the microphone. We'll have munchies, and we'll have a cash bar, and we'll have a birthday cake, and a whole bunch of surprises that we'll talk about as we get closer.
I get that weekend off.
Wow.
All right, we got a winner.
Someone else?
Oh, I thought she was yelling at you for saying you're going to take that weekend off.
No, I mean, I don't have to work.
Someone's going to be here running the board.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll be Rob. Let him work for a change. No, sorry.
No, Rob will be, I'm sure Rob will be there. Yeah.
No, he's already got one person already designated to a volunteer is going to be here operating the board.
Well, God bless whoever
so
that person is.
All three of us can be there.
We had a great time at the festival last
Jazz
weekend.
Fest?
No, last weekend was the
Park Avenue Fest.
Yeah.
We were giving away a lot of jazz CDs.
Yeah, we were. No Akiko Grace, though. I was very upset. It was great stuff. There was some great stuff there, and just, we had a nice time.
Just amazed me, Derek, one of the DJs here. Someone said, "Do you have any Irish jazz?" And he'd rumble through it. Here you go. You know, do you have any jazz like this person? Rumble through it. Here you go. He knows everything.
Swedish jazz? Swedish jazz? Yes, we do, as a matter of fact.
He was picking up. And some folks would sit there, even on Sunday, or say, "Well, I kind of like this." You go, "Here, try this." He goes, "It's darn close, and I think you're going to really enjoy it." Oh, cool.
Every time he did that, though, I kept thinking, is he just making them go away?
He's just lying to them? Yeah.
Yeah. Here's the disc.
Sure
go away.
Was, and I'm sure he
Here's
knows
the disc. Go away.
No, Derek knows his jazz. Yep.
He knows his jazz. There's no question of that. Yep. No question.
He is on top of the ball on that.
All righty. Well, in an extremely rare move, an Apple executive has publicly commented on the App Store approval process as it relates to a controversial dictionary application. Apple's Phil Schiller, Senior Vice President of Worldwide Marketing, and last seen playing the role of Steve Jobs at Apple's events this year, emailed John Gruber of Daring Fireball to comment on the approval process of Ninja Words, a dictionary application that was initially rejected from the App Store because it supplied the definition of several dirty words. How do you learn them? If never mind. Schiller blamed the snafu on, so to speak, on poor timing, saying that Apple never directly censored the application but felt it deserved a 17-plus rating, which wasn't formally available as an option until parental controls were released along with the iPhone 3.0 software in June. Ninja Words draws on Wiktionary for its definition, Schiller said, which means it offers up a few more choice words than the folks at the Oxford English Dictionary would have gotten around to including. Apple rejected the initial submission of Ninja Words for this reason, provided the Ninja Word developers with information about some of the vulgar terms and suggested to the developers that they resubmit the application for approval once parental controls were implemented on the iPhone. But while the debate over Ninja Words will rage on, what's perhaps most significant is that Apple is directly commented on its decision-making process regarding the approval or rejection of a specific iPhone application. As near as I can remember, Apple's never done that before in their in the whole year-plus history of the Apple Store, with the notable exception of the justly reviled Baby Shaker. Even then, Apple didn't explain the reasoning behind its decision. It eventually just called it deeply offensive. Perhaps now that the FCC is taking a closer look at the Google Voice debacle, Apple is now starting to give developers and iPhone users some specific input on the criteria it uses to approve or deny iPhone applications. To this point, the process has been a black box, frustrating developers time and again. Gruber credited Apple with perhaps waking up to the reality that at some point, the App Store approval process went off the rails. That Schiller was willing to respond in such detail and length on the record is the first proof I've seen that Apple's leadership is trying to make the course correction that many of us see as necessary for the long-term success of the platform. The implementation, the improvement I consider most important is a significant focus on fairness, consistency, and common sense in the App Store review process, he wrote.
Yeah, one of the things that I read about it is that the people who review the apps are paid by how many violations they find.
Oh, there's a recipe for getting good stuff.
Yeah.
In.
But it's the catch 22 again. You yell at them for releasing Baby Shaker. You yell at them for not releasing a dictionary with dirty words in it. So they're
well,
both
anybody
ways.
With two functioning synapses should have rejected Baby Shaker without a second thought. It should have been an instantaneous, oh, hell no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, Baby Shaker was an application that got approved for download from the iPhone store, where you get, every once in a while, this baby would start to cry, and the only way you could get it to stop was to shake your iPhone until little red X's appeared over the baby's eyes. Shake the baby until it's dead. If that doesn't outrage you, you are soulless and dead.
But outraged isn't illegal. And the line that they're worried about is not approving something that would be legal and then getting sued for censorship, approving something that wouldn't be legal and getting sued for illegality. So it's tough.
It's a double-edged sword.
Right, double-edged sword. But they should release specific criteria as to what will and will not be approved.
And that's how you prevent yourself from being sued.
Right.
Right now, it's a black box and anybody can sue.
Yeah.
Now, when they say, look, we don't want things that are deeply offensive to the general community. We don't want things that are filthy. Well, now they can do that because there's the 17 plus rating or whatever. But, you know, we don't want this, we don't want that. Then people know.
Yeah. The only guideline the developers basically had before is don't duplicate functionality that the iPhone already gives you. So email programs were rejected. The Google Voice program was rejected because it gives you a telephone and you're not using AT&T in your minutes.
Oh.
There was a big story this week where a developer got kicked off. His development authorization was revoked, and 900 programs of his were removed. He called himself a news aggregator, and what he was doing is stealing stories from other websites and posting them on his own application.
Now, what aggregators do?
Yeah, but apparently...
With slightly less loaded terminology.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The content providers, you know, if you have a program that displays all the CNN news stories... CNN isn't getting the clicks and the advertising for it. So the content.
If what you do is like do the tease.
Yeah.
And a link, I suspect they like that.
Yeah.
Right? Because.
But not copying the whole story without giving.
Right.
So they revoked him under copyright issues because he was stealing other people's copyrights.
And that's perfectly fair.
Yeah. But 900 programs this guy had written.
Well, yeah. Well, this is the thing that I most am. This is my theory, but one of the things that we lose with newspapers going away and good news shows going away is editors.
Yeah.
People who sit there and say, this is a story that people need to hear. This is a story that people need to see. And now we just have this...
Get it on the air before we're scooped.
Right. And in terms of the internet, we just have this raw data feed and we're our own editors. Where people are valuable is if somebody somebody says, well, I like this guy's editorial sense. I will look at what he has said are good things to look at. That's one of the things that's made Twitter so popular. You follow people who find things that are of interest to you rather than having to wade through a bunch of junk to find something. Mm-hmm. That's really where Twitter seems to be coming into its own, is somebody to say, great article on X, here's the link.
And that's also one of website dig.com. Where
Dig is the same idea.
Other people like this story, so it rises to the top of Dig. So you find stories you like, you put them on Dig, and you'll find other stories you like also. So crowdsourcing.
Yeah. Yeah. It goes by fast when you're having fun. What can I say?
Wow, I cannot believe it's been 2 hours already. Holy mother of pearl. All right, I guess that's it. I want to thank each and every one of you called in. I want to thank everybody who was in the IRC chat and the people, or in this case, person, who tweeted me here on the show. Thanks to all of you listening on the stream and listening live. I want to thank you. It's been nearly 20 years. And we're grateful for every minute that you folks have spent with us. I'm Nick Francesco, and with Dave Enright and Steve Ray, we'd like to thank you so much for listening to yet another edition of the greatest computer show in the known universe. We are Soundbites. We are member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you in Second Life. See you on the web. And see you next week right here. Thanks for listening.
Sitting in with me, pianist Bill Mays from his home in Pennsylvania. Sometimes